Welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm your host, Allie, a BCBA and mom of five. Joining me today is Kate Wassey, who is a BCBA mom, yoga instructor, doula, and owner of Sequence in New Jersey. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Allie. I'm very excited.
Yeah. And Kate and I were just talking. We actually connected. I think it's been a month now. Life got in the way being a mom, you know, business owners, BCBAs, all of those things. Life happens.
Life happens. And, you know, it's like, all right, we're going to do it after bedtime, right? And it's like that 8 o'clock time, you know, you never know what's going to happen at that time.
I know. That's very true. And 8 o'clock bedtime is, you know, in theory, that's bedtime.
In theory. Yeah. We hope for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Kate, can you just tell us a little bit about your journey from working as a paraprofessional, alpine teaching in public schools, and eventually becoming a BCBA?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started working as a paraprofessional, like you said, at Alpine Learning Group. It's in Paramus. It's a school for students with autism. And I started there as a paraprofessional. Then I became a teacher in a classroom. And then I became a BCBA for a couple of classrooms. I really got excellent experience there. I learned so much from my mentors there and all the BCBAs. And I met some really incredible kids. So I'm super happy I was able to have that experience starting off in the field. And then from there, I worked in Hoboken for a couple of years teaching a preschool ABA classroom, which I loved. I loved getting to know the kids and the families. It was a great community. But then I moved. I moved down by the Jersey Shore area. And so I got a position as a public school BCBA. And I've been there for, it's like seven years now, which seems like kind of crazy. But yeah, so that's where I am now full time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it too. I love the idea of like starting out. I worked as a paraprofessional before too, and a school teacher. So I love starting that way. And I used to be a school behavior specialist too. So I really love that journey too. I feel like we kind of have some similarities there. So, and I love starting off because I feel like when you kind of start from like I don't want to say the bottom because being a paraprofessional isn't always like the bottom, but that's definitely like an entry level position like into the schools. And I love that journey that you've taken. And now you do so many things. Like you're not just, you know, working for the schools. You also transitioned to launching Sequence. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Sequence kind of was born when I became a mom. So it's my goal is to guide moms from pregnancy through parenting. I personally had great pregnancies. I loved being pregnant. I loved just the labor and birth experience. I love talking to people about it, like about their experiences. I'm like, I just like want more of this. I want more like mom pregnancy. So then I got my prenatal yoga teacher certification. I was already teaching yoga. So I just dove in a little bit there. Love teaching prenatal yoga classes. And then from there, I'm like, I want more. So I became a doula. So I'm just starting off in my doula world here too, and working towards my certification with DONA, which is like the like a certification board really for doulas. So that's that piece, the yoga piece, the movement I love. I just love, you know, helping. It's really women primarily are my students, even when I teach Legree Fitness, which is like on a Megaformer machine. It's mostly women. Some guys come, which everyone's welcome.
Guys can come.
I love motivating my students to just push themselves, but also listen to their body and just find that balance. And then also then the parenting and the parent coaching behavior sessions with students. And I'm really trying to infuse my yoga and mindfulness background into my behavior work with families. And I mean, I see it in my own household, the tools and the ability to take a break. And what does taking a break look like? Oh, okay. I can pick this strategy, this type of breath work, all of these things. And I'm seeing, I have a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old daughter, and I really see my 3-year-old latching onto these things. And of course it takes, you know, the mom, the parent to be able to co-regulate and model some of these things, which is easier said than done a lot of times, of course. But so I see it firsthand, and I really want to share that with families and kind of infuse it with like the principles of ABA to make this kind of unique package to help families regulate together.
I think that's great because regulation is so important. And I don't know, you know, and I think a lot of us, like our upbringing and you know, I didn't grow up going, okay, like, let's take our deep breaths and like working on my breath work. So, and it's very different. I think it's very important, you know, for a lot of families and learning our ways. Like, I think as adults that it like, maybe we're having trouble regulating, to be able to regulate ourselves, and also teaching that to our kids. I think that is so important for us and just for a lot of families out there. And I just remember when you said you have a 10-month-old, that I have a 10-month-old too.
That's in right. January,
and we have the same birthday. I just remembered that. We're both January 2nd. I remember our conversation.
You have a good memory. Yeah.
Well, no, when is your 10-month-old's birthday?
The 10-month-old's birthday is January 2nd, and then my 3-year-old is...
Oh, that's right. Okay, so I have the same birthday as your 10-month-old, and then my 10-month-old is January 1st. Okay.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, so we were pretty much doing the same thing around the same time. Yeah, this year.
So we were both in the hospital at the same time.
Yeah, and we are...
a different kind of breath work.
Yeah, different kind of breath work in there. Yep. It's wild that 10 months have passed. Like, what happened? I don't know. I really just feel like the time has just vanished. Yeah. I'm like, you were just, it's even when you think back, because, you know, in the 2 to 3 months postpartum, it's like, you're in the thick of it, as they say.
Right.
And then you look back, like, at this point to that stage, you're like, wow, was that like a different version of me? I think it was. It's really an incredible thing.
I totally agree. And I have been hearing this a lot. I'm sure you probably heard it before too, about the flamingos. They lose all their pink and like they get like their pink back. And I'm like, they lose their pink like after they have their babies and they start to get like some of their pink, like some of themselves back, basically. And I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get my pink back. But like that, like it's been a journey. I can't believe how quickly that's been. Like, this year is almost over. And that's wild.
It is wild. And you're right. It's like slowly starting to come back to who you were before, right. But then also you're a new person now.
Different
like
person.
Whether you've had one kid or two or five, like you're just a new person every time, with just like new skills and new energy. And it's really cool. So as they grow, I mean, we grow too as moms.
Yeah, no, that's true too. We don't always think about that, like that they're 10 months old and we're 10 months, you know, postpartum from that one baby. And every time it's a different time and you always come back a different person. So it's such a unique experience. But like, I love your involvement as like a doula and a yoga instructor and how empowering that is as moms. And I think that is such a unique concept. And I remember also you were talking about the name. So I love the way it's spelled too, because you're at Jersey Shore and it's Sequence, S-E-A.
Yes.
So it has a dual meaning. So I love that idea. And it's such a unique concept, combining, you know, ABA concepts with yoga, doula work, parent coaching. How did you kind of bring that to life? Like what inspired you to kind of put all of that together?
All of it together. Yeah. So, well, you know what? I kind of was like, I just feel like I'm meant to do something like this. Like something kind of just clicked in my brain where I was like, wow, I can do this. Like I have these different skill sets. How can I bridge them together? So the name Sequence, like you said, SEA, you know, it can be applied to yoga. A sequence in yoga is what I write out. You know, I write out a yoga sequence. What are the poses? What is the order? How am I starting? Then you can think of like the sequence that a mom goes through, right? From having their or being pregnant to parenting kids of all ages. And then, of course, also the ocean, the sea, just living so close. We try to get there. I mean, it's getting a little colder now, unfortunately. But I mean, when it's warm out, we're there like multiple times a week, just looking out at the waves and just almost like having a little meditation mindfulness session of like, okay, you know, when in doubt, get to the water. So I think, you know, all of that coming together to build Sequence. And, you know, in my ideal world, I will meet a mom when they're pregnant, teach them prenatal yoga, maybe be honored to be their doula, do a little postpartum movement and yoga and support. And then when they have kids, if they need some parenting support, I'm their girl too. So that's my vision that I'm trying to work towards. And where I live in New Jersey by the Jersey Shore, there's such an incredible community of women-owned small businesses that are being created by lovely people. Just everyone is so welcoming and so kind, and everyone's kind of lifting each other up and wanting everyone to succeed. So I've been able to do some incredible collaborations with people in the area who maybe are in like the birth support field, like lactation consultants, or maybe they have a play space that they host things and they host events for kids. And it's just becoming a really nice network. So I'm excited to continue to grow Sequence because I feel like I'm meeting so many great people along the way that can help me build it and move forward.
Yeah. No, and I love that community, and I think that's needed everywhere, like to have that kind of support, because I think sometimes, you know, as moms or, you know, parents in general, like you're kind of like it, whether it's your first kid or, you know, like your third kid or whatever it might be, like it can feel kind of lonely, like in the lack of like support. And sometimes you have a partner along the way, sometimes you don't, sometimes you have family support. So the support looks very different, but it's nice if you have a community around you that's just like, hey, like we've got you, like you need help with lactation, like we've got you on this, like you want to, like, you know, do some yoga moves or like work on regulating yourself. So it's nice to have that extra support. I think all communities would really benefit from that. You know, but I also like the idea that you can always go back and say, if there's, you know, do you have somebody that can help me with lactation, or like, you know, my supply is low. You could be like, oh no, I know somebody that can help you with that. So that's really nice to have all of those resources available to you. So I think that's great.
Absolutely.
And a lot of women.
Yeah.
So you offer prenatal yoga, birth doula services, parent coaching. How do those roles connect for you?
Well, it's all just supporting the mom and, of course, families as a whole, but of course, mom centered for a lot of the things. And I think what I love most about it is that I can now relate to all stages. I can relate to the pregnant mom. I can relate to the postpartum mom. I can relate to the parenting mom. So I can walk up to a mom and talk about my services and be like, yes, been there, or oh, I understand, or oh, I have a friend who. So I think that relatable piece, I think, is huge in providing support, because moms, you know, we want to feel comfortable with who we're talking to. We don't want judgments. We want to feel safe. We want to feel comfortable. And so that is kind of like my overarching mission, really, is how can I support moms in every step of their journey, really?
Yeah. No, I love that. And I like that you're there for all stages, because it's definitely, it's a process. It's not just like, okay, like, you know, I think a lot of times, like, your treatment's kind of done, like, after birth. It's like, okay, like, great job. You did it.
Yes.
You know, let me know if it's a process. Medication. All right. You know, but you're kind of just like, okay, so like, who do I turn to? Where do I go? So it's nice to know that the same person that's there from you from the beginning can be there for you after too. The same, and you have that rapport with them, which is super important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is a typical Sequence session? And I know it kind of depends on like the different stages that they're in, but what would you say would be like a typical session that you would also like have, like the movement, the mindfulness, and like behavior science? Like, what does all of that look like?
Yeah. So when I am, well, first of all, before I even start a session, right, my intake or my questions that I ask a family is not just like your traditional standardized, you know, ABA assessments, although those are super important, but I want to know, what are your family's goals for your child? Like, what are the priorities? Are you having a tough time when you're going out in the community? Like, are you dreading every time you bring your child to the grocery store? Is bedtime your issue? Is it toileting? What are the things that you really need to work on? So once I have that and we come up with the goals together, right? So I'm not going to tell them the goals. I want to come up with these collaborative goals. What is going to help your life be more peaceful, really. So once I have that information and I go in and I work with a student, always starting off with some movement and some relationship building. I am talking with them, depending on the student and depending on the needs, of course. So that would vary. But I'm talking with them. I'm understanding. I should already have an understanding of their preferences, their interests from the family. So I'm going to go in, maybe like they're super into Mickey Mouse, and I'm going to maybe bring something Mickey Mouse to talk with them and help engage them and get them, you know, to be my buddy. And then from there, maybe if, you know, the child's open to it, maybe we do a little yoga, breathing, mindfulness, of course, kid-centered. I have a lot of tools that help me make those things kid-centered so that, you know, it's kid-friendly, I should say, kid-friendly. And ideally, the family is working with us and there, and they can be doing it too. So I'm modeling how the family can co-regulate together. So, oh, wow, we're now all doing the same breath together. We're all doing a down dog together. We're all doing these things where, wait, I remember Kate showed me this in a session. Now we're having a really tough time at bedtime. Let's pull out some of those tools. So I'm modeling that. And then from there, we're going to target like those specific goals and what that looks like. So for example, maybe it's a bedtime issue and I go at bedtime and I kind of just check out what's going on as long as the family's comfortable with me being there during that time. Maybe we incorporate some helpful visuals. Maybe we do some role playing if that would work for the child. I'm like, okay, like let's practice this. And I'm going to show the family how to do some of those strategies that I would recommend. So not just telling them the strategies, but here's how to do it. And so that, you know, the family feels equipped to maybe do some of those things when I'm not there. And so it's really just working on supporting positive, grounded, calm behaviors through that connection, through role play, through talking about it. And then from there, it's following up like, hey, how do you feel like that went?
Right.
Did you feel like you're able to, do you have any questions on the strategies when we went over? Hey, let's follow up and see how that goes for a couple of days after you try it.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that too. And I like how you mentioned, you know, whatever their kind of their comfortability level is, like if you're open to it, like we could do yoga. If you're open to it, like we can do. And it sounds very, you said student instead of client, but very
client-led. Working in schools, I know, yeah.
It's interchangeable. You know, I totally get it. I had a hard change. I kept saying student too for a long time when I switched over to like, in the home, I was like, oh, I mean, client.
But I know, child's client. Right. Yeah, same thing. And also, too, like I still, you know, so I'm still in schools like 9 to 3:30 every day. So, it's hard to turn off the teacher brain. Yeah.
It's hard to transition back and forth sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
When you're working with parents, what's one modeling strategy you often demonstrate that really seems to resonate with them?
Honestly, the breath work. So I find that making breathing like silly or related to an animal or silly face like really can be super helpful. So like a bumblebee breath, like you breathe in through the nose, you exhale, you make a buzzing sound. Lion's breath, you can open your mouth and do a big like sigh out your mouth. And then also not only the sounds, but matching breath to movement is also super important too. So for example, flower breathing is like a fan favorite where you bring your arms up out to your temples, take a deep breath in, open up your flower petals, and then you exhale, you round the spine. Honestly, it feels really good to do that right now, but it's good for us because I feel like a lot of times everybody, right? Like as we get older, we are losing our posture, right? And we're starting to like round forward, bloop. So it's really good to be able to like open up and stretch and open up the chest and squeeze the shoulder blades together. So adding in like the movement with the breath too is super helpful. And I find that parents and teachers working in schools too help their students using that as well.
I like that too, that movement. I think that it probably helps in a couple ways. You know, it's like it's definitely very sensory friendly too. So like kind of just getting some of that sensory output and being able to move your body with your breath. I love that idea. And then also I was just thinking, you're right about our posture and how much time, you know, adults tend to spend on the computer and like leaning forward. It's like, oh, I got to type, you know, my notes. And we're always kind of leaning forward. And, you know, it's really important to start like moving ourselves back. And I think that is really important thing too.
Yeah.
So, what are some recommendations that you might have for family? I think what you said for the breath work was beautiful. What are some recommendations you might have for self-care for?
Self-care for moms.
Well,
So, yeah, I
I guess
mean,
dads too. We
all
did say dads,
dads too. Yep, dads, we love you. We need you. Yeah, so I mean, I obviously doing what I do, I'm a proponent of movement, but I'm a proponent of movement based on what feels comfortable for your body. So if you are not a yogi, totally okay. Maybe your thing is walks, like get outside, get some sun on your face, get some fresh air. Like when in doubt, get outside. Like even if it's just a dysregulated moment in your house and you're like, oh my goodness, take the family outside, even if it's cold, even if it's hot, and just get out there. Feel that sun on your face, help the nervous system regulate. In terms of other self-care things, I mean, meditation is huge. And meditation I find can be, it's very hard for me. It's very hard for me to do to turn off my brain. I mean, I try and try and try. And I've been doing it for a very long time. So I typically will lay in bed. I will pull up some favorite meditations on my phone to listen to. Sometimes I have to like restart them because I'm like, okay, I just went through 5 minutes of this meditation and I was thinking about all the things I have to do tomorrow. So give yourself grace when you are starting your meditation practice. If that's something that, you know, as a mom that I would recommend, I would always say, like, give yourself some grace. It takes some time and some practice. And also don't start with like a 45-minute meditation. Maybe you start with like a 5-minute meditation. Meditate in the car. Put that on. And honestly, if you have kids in the back, you might be surprised. They might just like sit there and listen too. So yeah, so those would be, you know, movement and meditation, and also connection with other moms, like we were touching on before, you know, finding that community of moms that you can relate to, that are your people, that you feel safe talking with, and go out and get a cup of coffee, even if it's for a half an hour, talking to another mom about what they're going through, especially ideally if it's like a similar stage to what you are in. I mean, that's how I got through both postpartum periods, is just texting my friends 800 questions a day and having an amazing friend group that always answered back. And that's just how you get through. So, yeah. So I would say movement, get outside, meditation, and finding a crew, a mom crew that you can talk to and feel comfortable with.
I like that too. And I know there's a lot of mom groups out there. Sometimes it's just like a play date, and I don't care, sometimes like how young your kid is, like it's still good. I mean, the play date is not always for the kids.
One hundred percent,
So
one
it's
hundred
like, can I,
percent.
you want to have a play date with our 10 month olds? Sure. Yeah. I don't know how well
Sure.
you play together, but like it's great to have that
Yes.
connection. I think that's so very important. So I really like that you mentioned that too.
Yeah.
So are you, do you find, because you have a very busy schedule yourself, with Sequence and working in a school and a mom of two. So do you find yourself doing very similar things for self-care, or do you do different things? Like, what do you do for your own self-care?
So I kind of ebb and flow with like, I don't know. I honestly can't even tell you why sometimes I'm in the mood for one thing and what sometimes I'm in the mood for another thing. But right now I'm into like intense workouts. I don't know what shifted because like, I mean, you know, prenatal, postpartum, I was doing yoga and like walking and things like that. And now I'm like, I want to be doing something intense. I want a coach to be telling me to go faster, lift heavier. That's just the stage I'm in. And I've been in that stage throughout my life at various points. But then sometimes I'm like, I just want to do hot yoga all the time. Or so I think it just kind of ebbs and flows with my energy shift. And this is just what my body needs right now. And that's almost meditative for me to do like an intense workout because I can't think about anything else besides what my body is doing. And I've always kind of been like that. I have always had a hard time with like the restorative and the yin yoga, which are very slow. I need it. My mind needs it. I can't slow it down. I need that fast-paced workout to be like, nope, no thoughts. This is closed for 45 minutes.
It's
So that's
hard.
what I've been doing now. Yeah. That And then just being outside as much as possible. I mean, we go for walks all the time and we take the kids in the stroller, or my older daughter will scooter. It's a time where my husband and I can catch some talking time because I really like to be outside on a walk. So, and then that meditation, like I said, at nighttime, I try to wind it down, get to bed a little early.
I started doing like before bed, because I noticed for me, like right before I go to bed is like where I'm like, okay, I got this, all these things to do. And I'm thinking about my whole day. Mm-hmm. As I started putting on meditation and I fall asleep in the middle of it every time.
Yes.
It's helping me. I'm not really, and it's interesting because I wake up and I feel so much better. The days I don't have it on and I fall asleep to whatever garbage Netflix TV is on, I don't feel as well. So that's just kind of been something I've been doing that I've been finding very helpful, is just I don't even know what it says half the time. Like, it's just something like very slow and I fall asleep.
Soothing and slow. Yeah, exactly. That's great.
Yeah. And I really like that we're talking about this in the emotional regulation and being outside too, like being able to regulate yourself, because there's a lot of studies that do show like being outside like helps regulate our body, you know, and then also like any kind of like vitamin deficiency or something like that. So being outside in the sun. So those are all very important components. I think sometimes, like at least in Florida, I've had a couple issues with like, you know, I have to be with my wording as far as insurance is concerned when I put things as replacement behavior, because these are definitely replacement skills.
So instead of absolutely
yelling, I'm meditating, right? Instead of
100%.
Of whatever other behavior, which is kind of like fast cleaning and grabbing and yelling at everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Slowing my body down, right? Like meditating, taking some breaths before, all of those things, you know, stopping and pausing. And I think too, it just kind of the way things are worded, I think we just have to be cautious sometimes as far as like the insurance piece of that is how we word those things. But these are definitely replacement skills. So I think it's very important what you're doing, because there's definitely that behavior science to it. Because, you know, if we're not regulating ourselves, then we're dysregulated. So we've got to.
Yes.
So I love that. And that's, I love that you're doing this.
Thank you. And, you know, it's all.
It is.
The mom, the child, the family, like what we do, the things that we're just talking about, like, okay, it's a behavior for me to like, I'm going to meditate right now. And honestly, sometimes I put myself on a little behavior plan. I'm not even going to lie. Like sometimes I'm like, I want to do these like wellness things. I want to do all these wellness things. I'm going to make myself a little checklist Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. I want to try to get these things done. And it just gives me a sense of accomplishment. So I do that sometimes for my own self. But yes, I totally agree with that replacement behavior. And like, even when I'm talking to my own daughter, it's like, okay, you know, validate the feeling. I understand you're mad, but we can't do this. We can do this, right? So you're always just giving that alternative, validating that feeling. What can we do when we feel that way? We can go upstairs. She likes her coping strategy that we have taught her. She goes up into her little tent in her room. She grabs her stuffy in a blanket and she just chills. She just like kind of rests there. Once she's like, you know, not in her like toddler tantrum mode, but she will do that. And sometimes she'll say, I need a stuffy. And I'm like, okay, I love that you told me that. Go get your stuffy. It always helps you to calm down. Go pick which one you want and I will help you. And I'm so proud of her because we've been working on that with her like since she could understand that, at least, you know, since she's been two. And she's really picked up on that. So I think, you know, I want to share those tools with other families, because even if, you know, you're feeling as a family, like, oh my gosh, there's just like so many behaviors with my child and I'm just feeling so overwhelmed. Maybe it's just like one or two tweaks to start, right? Like where you can change maybe some of your behavior to help support your child's behavior. Maybe we just start with a couple things so it's not so overwhelming that I need to do this 20-step behavior plan. Let's start small and build from there. And I think it makes it more like bite-sized and manageable for families. Then if they see that small progress, then it's like, that's the reinforcement, right? It's like, yes, I'm getting reinforced for what I'm doing. I'm going to
Yeah.
keep doing it and I want to do more. So it's all behavior. Yeah.
And sometimes it really is just like one or two things. Like sometimes it just is the stuffy, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I love that she advocated for that and she recognized what
totally.
Her at three,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Amazing.
And now even, yeah, thank you. And now, you know, she's like, I'm feeling frustrated. And I'm like, okay. You know,
Let's
like we're starting to use that. Yes.
I love
I'm
that.
very proud of her. And, you know, I like, of course, probably drill in a couple of these things. It's, you know, as you know, being a mom and a behaviorist simultaneously, it's like very hard to take off one hat and put on the other. But I like to think of both hats working together. You know, to be supportive, but then also recognizing like I am human. I'm going to do the wrong response to her behavior sometimes. It's just going to happen. No one's going to respond perfectly or use the right language. I've been having a hard time with that on some things on Instagram lately, not even from BCBA, it's just random people where it's like, you know, you should be saying this to your child and not this, and you should be saying this to your child and not that. And it just puts a lot of pressure, I think, on moms and parents where it's like, oh no, I told my child to be careful on the playground. Oh my God. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be okay. It doesn't have to be so scripted, but like, here are some phrases you can weave in that may be helpful, you know?
Right. Yeah. And we're not like, always going to get it right. Like, even
No.
though, you know, like for us, it's like, okay, like we have the education, we help parents, we help children, all of those amazing things. Like, we don't always have it right. Like, you know, and that's the one thing too about behavior science. It's trial and error. It's a science,
yes.
Right? So what's going to work for one child is not always going to work for the other. And I'll tell you, the kids, like my own kids, are changing all the time. And as they
yes.
grow, it's like, oh, this really worked for you, or you were really motivated for this for a while and it's totally changed. And now I have to change up what I'm doing.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I think we don't always have it right. And that's okay.
And that's totally okay. And, you know, because we're human and we can lose our patience, or it's the end of the workday and you've been up since however early in the morning and you just get that point that just triggers and you're just like, oh. Sometimes I honestly just like make a weird noise, like just the weirdest noise ever if I'm feeling overstimulated, and like my daughter will look at me like, and it's like, but sometimes I just do that to like let out a little steam versus like yelling or like saying, you know, a response I wouldn't typically do. So that's a little tip, just like make a really weird noise or like sing something in a different accent or something. I don't know. Do something silly.
Just
and it sometimes
it
can just break the ice for everybody.
Yeah. No, I like that too. It's just like maybe bringing it down like a little less serious, making it something
yes,
fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your favorite part? Is it the yoga part, the doula part, or, I mean, do you just kind of love, I mean, you do love having it all together, but if you had to pick like one specific part, what would be your favorite thing that you teach?
I would say the yoga and the movement, but including teaching that to kids, you know? So even like if I had to pick one and I wasn't doing like the behavior specific sessions, but I could still teach kids yoga, you know, and being able to support neurodivergent kids in kids yoga, like that would be incredible. And I do that, you know, I've done that too in the past and I love it. But then, you know, the prenatal postpartum yoga and movement piece and teaching my classes and stuff, I definitely have such a passion for that. I'm super excited for the doula, my, you know, continuing my doula journey. But the one thing is like, as you know, birth is very unpredictable. You don't know how long it's going to be or how short it's going to be. So in terms of like fitting that into my life's schedule, I definitely have to be selective about that. I can't be doing full-time doula when, you know, I have two young kids. So as much as I love it, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it probably as much as I would like to, at least right now at this stage of my life.
Right. Right. No, that's totally fair too. And that would definitely be difficult for that work-life balance, like, because you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So I think
you
it would
know.
Be important to be selective in that area for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So for parents and professionals who may be feeling burnout or disconnected, what's one small sequence or practice they can start today to ground themselves?
All right. So I would say tuning in to the senses. So I use this for kids. I use this for moms. I use it for myself. So basically, you can go through all of your senses and just check in. So what are five things you see? What is something that you hear? What is something that you smell? What do you feel? Feel the feet on the earth. It really just brings you back to your body, and helps you to focus in on things rather than your mind starting to spiral. So I would say that would be a good tip, is checking in with your senses. Pause and check in with your senses. You know, sometimes when that overstimulation, like I mentioned before, starts to hit, especially, you know, as a mom, it's super hard to do that. It's super hard to ground yourself. And so if you force yourself to just sit down, put both feet on the ground, all four corners of the feet, all on the floor, take a deep breath and check in with those senses. And also too, like taking a deep breath. I feel like we say that a lot, like take a deep breath. But what does that actually mean? And there's so many different types of breath. So I would encourage moms to maybe go take a yoga class or look up some YouTube videos and see what type of breath resonates to you. You know, for me, I do a lot of like humming breath, and I probably just do it without even knowing, like big breath in and just hum on the way out. It's one that I teach during prenatal yoga. It's one that I can work on with my doula clients, and it can be a hummingbird breath for kids. So it can be kid friendly that way too. But that's something I just find myself doing to regulate my nervous system almost out of habit now. But maybe that particular type of breath wouldn't work for everybody. So I would encourage moms to find a breath that's like their safe space. Like, all right, I can pull this out in my times of need, and it's going to bring me down.
I like that. I like that very much. And I think it's very funny the way you said, what does deep breath look like? Because my stepson does, I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. And then, you know, he's very good about doing that, like in practice, but like when he's having a moment, it looks like this. He's like, I'm like, no, it's not deep. Like, it's a very short breath. So we've done like the blowing out, like the can. So it's a very like visual. Like the box. So like, I like love how that. You said find the breath that kind of works for you too. So I think that's also very important, because when we're in that moment, like, you know, sometimes that deep breath is a little bit more of a challenge than, you know, we realize, adults and kids.
Absolutely. And I think when you're working on that breath, similar to what we were saying before about that posture, rolling the shoulders back and down, like going back into that rounding, like we're all kind of doing a lot more of these days, it just like triggers to our nervous system to like brace for impact, right? It's like we're just like making this like flexed spine. And it's like, okay, like there's not a bear chasing you right now. Like everything is okay. You are safe. Like just relax and soften the body and find that long posture. Like even as I'm sitting here now, I'm like coiled up with a flexed spine. So we need to probably all, don't quote me on this, but I probably would say that like 90% of people need to work on extending their spine and rolling their shoulders back and down and bringing the chin away from the chest. You know, there are some people, maybe like dancers are naturally have like that extended spine, but I don't know. I think most people just like walking around. It's just we're looking at our phones. We're all doing it.
We're all leaning in.
We're all leaning in, and it's nothing like
leaning back. I can't think of a reason I really need to purposely like lean back, unless I'm, you know, like it's not a function for me. It's like, so
exactly,
I'm looking at my phone, I'm looking at my computer, I'm eating my food, like everything is forward, nothing is really back. So
totally. So you know what you could do? You can go up to like a doorway in your house and put your hands up on either side of the doorway and just take a step forward, open up here. Feels really good. You could try that one.
I'm gonna definitely try that tonight.
Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I will, because now I'm like thinking about it. I was like, yeah, that would feel so good, taking a breath like while moving my body, like how great that's going to feel. So I'm going to definitely start practicing that too. So I love that idea.
Awesome.
So what would be the best way for parents and providers to reach you? What's the best way to connect with you?
Say Instagram would be the best. It's at Sequence with a little underscore, that or my email, which is sequencellc@gmail.com. I'm always checking my email, but I'm also always checking my DMs. And, you know, I know you're in Florida and you're reaching, people in probably all states, which is cool. So I do offer virtual parent coaching and services. So all that information is like attached as links into my Instagram and my website is there. And I also have a free workshop coming up that's virtual on December. Yes, it's on December 10th. I'm calling it Peaceful Holidays Ahead. And it's basically how to just some regulation tips, some behavior support tips for families as we're going into a pretty overstimulating holiday season. And then families will be able to go home with like a little visual tool guide too. So it's a free virtual workshop. The link is on my Instagram.
It's awesome. I will also post the link in our description notes too. So
yay,
I think
that
would be such a cool opportunity. I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I will definitely have to check my calendar, but I would absolutely love to join. So
yay. Okay, cool. Would love to have you.
Yeah. So Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today. It took so long for us to connect, but I'm so glad that we finally connected and we were able to do this together.
I really appreciate you having me. I mean, I love the work you're doing and you're so easy to talk to. So I really appreciate it. Now we're connected. So yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, and you're right about the DMs because I DM'd you on Instagram and you were very quick to DM me back. So
yeah, right there. Check in.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be a self-care goal for me to stop checking my Instagram so much. Maybe I'm going to pull back.
Yeah. Well, you might miss some important messages, though. So
I know. It's like a double-edged sword.
What am I going to miss if I don't check it?
Yeah, I know.
I took a little bit of a break with my 17-year-old, but I hired him as my social media manager. So some of the social media he does
incredible.
For me. So I do love that because it kind of gives me a break from it.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody could do it, 17-year-olds can. They're good at that.
100%. That makes sense to me.
Yep. All right, Kate, thank you so much for coming on today.
All right, Allie.
You too.